first week he was born. I don't know. Is that true? Yeah, he's a home kid, and he has he's made a recording, wonderful recording, and we've asked him to come and share with us after service. His mom Stan. You know, we just want to show you off here a little bit. We're proud of you. And she'll be out in the foyer if you'd like to purchase some of these and help this young man on his way in the gospel music field. And he does a wonderful job. But she'll be out in front there. And CDs are $15. If you can't afford $15, why, we'll get somebody to help you get it, okay? Seriously. We want you to have one. It's not about money, but we do want to encourage him. And so, Ben, you're on, my friend. We're really proud of you.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now I know wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you, and to me, that's all that matters, though the world cannot see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a land that is fair than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessings of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for our glorious gifts of His love and the blessings that hallow our days in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. I was heavy burdened down, the hand of Satan had me bound. I called on Jesus, He had compassion on me. Then His love came rushing in, and then He took away my sin. I was changed, and Satan knew I'd been set free. 'Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree on that lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps ringing. It was Jesus who made me this way. The world can take all the things that I've worked for through the years. They can take this old house I'm living in. Oh, but there's one thing I know they'll never take away from me, and that's Jesus who's living within. 'Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree on that lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps ringing. It was Jesus who made me this way.
Praise God. Let's give Him another good hand. Now, that's wonderful.
Praise God. Well,
if Nashville heard that, you might be getting some phone calls, young man. Praise Jesus. We're going to wait a minute for our offering to begin with. Brother Jeff Prayer, if you'd help us, and Brother David Hall, and Mike Persifield, and Larry Williams, if you'd help us, and Brother Zanders, if you'd help us with our offering, please. Praise Jesus. Wow. And Brother Randy Schaefer, would you come and help us with our offering? So, Mike, would you like to turn around and just show the folks your face? He just couldn't resist. Just couldn't resist. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you so much for the blessings you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for being able to be here and share with us. And we just pray anointing upon his life, Lord. Father, continue to give him songs. And Lord, just let them burn in his heart. Just bless the family, Lord, and their ministry. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this offering. Help us, Lord God, that we would we'd be good stewards of all that you've given us. Help us, Lord, to be diligent about the Master's business in these end times. Lord, I pray you would anoint the Word this morning as we have opportunity to hear what you want to speak to every one of us. And Lord, there may be just a sentence or two that you want for someone in particular. So help us, Lord, not to be distracted by the enemy, but Lord God, to be attracted by your Spirit. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, if you would, please. I want to draw your attention to our announcement sheet, made a little bit different this week. If you did not get one, please pick up one, okay? It has a lot of dates there, things that's going on, camp dates, about men's breakfast coming up, mother-daughter banquet. But especially, I want to share just a moment with a program that is on this sheet in the middle. I just want to introduce it to you. It's called Jumpstart. And this is for the purpose of helping people, young and old, people that come to church here, people that have never been to church anywhere, just people in our community or wherever, to help them in some practical things in life. We've got a good response to it already. That's something the Lord spoke to me about, actually in prayer one day. And the theme on this is everyone deserves another chance. Not everybody deserves a second chance. Everybody deserves another chance, no matter where they are in life. And this is something that probably in most instances we can probably use about everyone in some case. The information here points out several things, and some of them are maybe needs a little more expertise, but it's really about practical life. It would especially affect people that have maybe been incarcerated, or they have kind of been lost in life through drug addictions, or maybe they dropped out of school, or maybe they didn't, whatever. But it's about everyday practical skills. It's amazing, really, how many people don't know how to change a tire on an automobile, or to check the oil, or to know what to do when the oil light comes on, or on and on and on. Things from the household, the kitchen, to we're just talking about everyday life. And some of the things are mentioned here, and I'm just going to touch on a few. On number two on the second part of this, it talks about employment, helping people's employment. It's amazing how many people need help getting a job, even though there's a lot of jobs around. For instance, many people do not have a clue how to write out a resume. And so maybe you could help someone with that. Or to fill out an in-line or online application. Or what to do if they do get called in and they're going to have an interview. And sometimes people get so panicky about an interview, they don't even show up for it. And so there's people that need help with things like that. And number three is about managing money. A lot of people, believe it or not, especially men, do not know how to balance a checkbook. Sometimes they don't even know how to write a check. And sometimes people do not know how to handle a debit card, a credit card, or just what to do with their money situation. How to make a budget, how to manage debts, how to manage payments, how to find resources in life. You know, hey, where can I go for help on this? Or if a person is wanting to buy a home and not have a clue how to buy a home, how to even begin with that, or to get a loan or whatever, whether it be best to buy or to rent, how to deal with utilities, just everyday things. How to go about furnishing a home. Now, you may have been down this road. Many people have. For instance, you might feel like, hey, you want to jump in on this deal, where you can rent some furniture or whatever, and, you end up paying several times more than what it's worth. But just everyday life. And educational, helping to further education, how to get a further education opportunity without spending a lot of money, and maybe getting a GED or something of that nature, and also in parenting, helping families that have been divided and are trying to get back together and they need parenting skills. And so these are just a few of the things that's going on, and we would like to have some help. And everybody's not going to be doing everything, but if you are interested in this, okay, what we need is your name. Just put on there Jumpstart, your phone number, and we'll get a hold of you on that. You can put it on a tithe envelope and turn it in that way, or you can just write your name and Jumpstart on the back of a $500 bill, and and we'll put your note to missions. And just kidding about the note, but if you want to do that, we'll put it to missions. But anyhow, just let us know that you're interested in Jumpstart, and we will get in contact with you. We need some practical help. Brother Mark, come share with us, would you? Thank you. Ben did a great job, right?
Yes, he did.
He didn't do like either one of us would have, but he did a wonderful job.
People are still sitting here also. And the dogs are not howling. And there is still peace. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 9. It is so good to see each and every one of you here. And Ben, you did do a very good job. Proud of you, young man. Been talking about what we need to be doing while we're waiting for God. Need to be doing some praying. Need to be doing some giving. Need to be doing a lot of loving. Today I want to talk about something that goes along with that, and that is compassion. God is a very compassionate God. Often we think of compassion in our mind instantly goes to love or something like that. But the two, while they're tightly joined together, are separate. Because love is that decision, that steadfastness that says, I am going to seek the good for another. I'm going to seek the good. I'm going to live in a lifestyle that is seeking the good of other people. And if we're not careful, we can become so devoted to doing the right thing that we lose the compassion that is necessary to really accomplish that. Because compassion is the fire of love. It's the zeal of love. It's the passion of love. It's that which will cause love to continue. Paul tells us that charity will never, or love will never fail, unless it loses its zeal. We find in Revelations that the Spirit said to the church, you've left your first love. What it meant was you lost that zeal, you lost that desire, you lost that impetus of what was really mattering, what was really concerning, and it changed the way that they were living. And I challenge us today, are we as compassionate in our walk with God and in our outreach to people? Because we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love others as ourselves. And Jesus put it this way, love even as I have loved you. And Jesus, we're going to just look briefly at a couple passages here for sake of time. We're just going to hit some things. You can consider it. As someone once said, if all you're getting is what the preacher preaches on Sunday, you've missed the purpose of Sunday. Let what you hear on Sunday, on a Wednesdays, whatever, blend in through your week to search it out and see what God's really wanted to say, speak into your life. Because this is the time to get the seeds. This is the time to get the instruction. This is the time to find out. But God wants to burn it within our hearts and lives throughout the week and throughout the months and throughout the years, because he wants us to take it personally. In Matthew chapter 9, excuse me, verse 35, we find Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus is out there touching people. Why? Because he loves them. Because he is desirous that they see the kingdom work. Remember whenever he was teaching the disciples how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, he started out saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Understand who it is we're talking about. He says, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth even as it is in heaven. See, what Jesus really wants to have happen and what he is working towards happening is have the kingdom of God come into people's lives. Hallelujah. That's what he wants. He wants the kingdom of God to come into people's lives. He is preaching and teaching on the kingdom of God, and part of the way he is doing that is he is meeting their physical and emotional needs. God wants us to be busy meeting people where they're at and meeting their needs. It's part of the reason I'm sure that God has laid upon pastor's heart to start this Jumpstart program at this point in time. You know, why not a year ago? Why not 2 years ago? Because this is the time whenever God is ordaining to do a new work in the church, through the church. He's preparing us to do what he's wanting to do, and we need to understand it and make changes in our lives to be ready for it and to be part of it. And so that's why we're here. So he is doing all these things. Excuse me, but verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Now, think about it. We would say, oh, he's already been compassionate and loving. He's been here spending time and time and time healing his people and doing all sorts of great things for them. Isn't that so loving of God? Yes, it is. But whenever he looked and he saw them, and he saw the state in which they were, he said he was moved with compassion. A new fire, a new zeal, a new desire was built within this man, Jesus. We can go through the scriptures and we can find where there's times whenever Jesus was just so tired and so weary. The disciples say, hey, you got to come away. Because he would just burn himself out because he would look at people and he'd be moved with compassion on them. But as he's been working on meeting these people's physical needs and trying to bring the kingdom within them, he's moved with compassion. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as having no shepherd. He looks at him and says, you know, this job is more than just me. The task is greater than I am. Now, the ultimate goal of bringing the kingdom rests solely upon his shoulders. He and he alone is the only one who can truly bring the kingdom to mankind, because he's the only one who can pay the price of the sacrifice of the blood of a sinless man. That's upon him. But meeting the desires and the needs of all these people who are fainting. Why were they fainting? Was it physical? Was it just spiritual? Was it just the cares of life? We don't know. But we do know they're scattered. They have lost their purpose. They are looking for answers. You know, you look at the world today and the turmoil that it's all in. It's nothing new. That's the same way it was in Jesus' day. Rome was there and it was creating havoc on people's lives, and they were just looking for answers and didn't know where to find answers. Now, don't get me wrong. We live in a different day, different age. We're living at a time whenever we're going to be winding this thing up. People have always had their problems. People have always had this where it's just seemingly, where do I find the answers? And Jesus' response to having this compassion was, he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. One of the greatest things that compassion will do for us is it will bring us to where we see the needs of people, and it will cause us to want to seek out not only to reach God for them, but to increase the numbers of people involved. If we're sitting saying, well, you know, God needs to do something, I wish he would raise up somebody to do it. Oh, I really wish there had some things going on at church. I don't understand why. Oh, you know, it just seems like we're in a rut. Oh, it just seems like. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest, and don't be surprised when he taps on your shoulder. Because he's going to tap on your shoulder. And if he isn't tapping on your shoulder, be concerned. Amen. You know, if you're not hearing God saying, hey, I want you to get involved, you got big problems. Yes. I've got big problems if God's not saying, hey, Mark, I want you to get involved over here. Because now we're so far away from him, so cold in our walk with him, so consumed within our own selves, that we've lost compassion for people and we've lost compassion for God. We're in a world of hurt. The good news is God is compassionate towards us. And if we get in that state, he knows how we will allow him to get our attention. And if we don't allow him, he knows how to get our attention anyhow. But Jesus has compassion, and it moves him to say, disciples, don't only you get involved, but pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I want you to notice the importance of it. It's not just, he didn't say, disciples, we need to get people lined up to go doing things. No, he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send. See, there is a difference between going and being sent. You can go to any consulate in the United States, Russia, China, pick a nation. You can go to their embassy. And you can say, I want to speak to your ambassador. Okay, that might get you in the front door, may not. If, However, you go there and you have paperwork saying, the President of the United States has sent me here. The door's going to get open to the ambassador's office. And now all of a sudden, it's just not what you have to say is going on, because you're now being sent to represent someone much higher with much more authority. And so whenever we are sent by the Lord of the harvest, we have all of the authority, all the rights, all the privileges that he bestows upon those who are sent, which happens to be his kingdom, to go forth with it. If we have compassion, we'll not only meet people's physical needs, but it'll draw us to reach God in a new way, to say, Lord, stir your people. Stir me, stir others, so that we will be sent into your harvest. See, it's not our harvest, it's his. And he is desirous that all would come in. Do we have that same zeal and that same desire? As we're waiting, we need to learn the compassion of God. Because he wants us to go forth in his compassion and his zeal and his love. Turn to Mark chapter 1. I'm going to be very brief today. I'm going to throw out a few thoughts here and you can mull over it all week. Because there's a whole lot more instances in the Word. And if we went through them all, you would miss lunch. I would miss lunch. And neither one of us want to do that. Let's just be honest. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. There came a leper to him, Jesus, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if thou wilt, you can make me clean. Someone came into Jesus' path, and they recognized he had the ability, if he so desired, to impact his life. He recognized that he was in a situation that he himself could not handle. He was in a situation not only where he could not handle it, but that nobody wanted him around. Because he was a leper. In fact, everywhere he went, he had to tell people, basically, get out of the way. Leave me alone because I am unclean. Can you imagine having to force yourself into isolation? Oh, yeah, we just came through a year of doing that, didn't we? But imagine it being your life. And it's not just isolated from other people, but it's isolated from all people. Isolated from your family. You're isolated from everybody except those who have the same disease as what you do. And trust me, misery really doesn't love company. All it does is adds to the misery. But he comes and says, I know that if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus moved with compassion. Before we look at the rest of the sentence, I want you to notice he was moved with compassion towards someone that he was supposed to stay away from. From someone he was to have no contact with. From someone who was unworthy of anybody caring about. Jesus saw him, saw the need, saw the desire, and he was moved with compassion. And because of it, he put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will be thou clean. A few years ago, I'd preached a sermon on breaking the rules. The rules which men establish and the rules which we kind of try and live by because, you know, that's what makes us feel good and holy and righteous. Jesus on the outside appears to be breaking a major rule, not just of man, but of God. Because the Old Testament law says you don't touch a leper. Of course, as Jesus moves, puts his hand out there, he says, I will be thou clean. The man's clean instantly. So I firmly believe that by the time Jesus' hand hits there, that the man was cleansed. But I want you to notice that compassion will cause you to do what everybody else says can't be done. Compassion will cause us to seek to go past the boundaries that we in society and churchdom will establish upon us. It will cause us to go out there and go that extra mile, so to speak. We'll look and we'll really see the needs that people have, not just by what we see, but by what God sees. It's because God is so compassionate. God is so loving that he gave himself up for us. He sent his only son. And whenever his only son needed him the most, he turned his back on him. Why? Because he loved us and had such a great compassion for us. And Jesus loved us and had such a great compassion on us that he went through it all and gave it all so that he could receive it all. While we're waiting, we need to learn this compassion. One last verse, if you don't mind. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 3. Excuse me. The writer of Hebrews says to let brotherly love continue. Peter says that we should fervently love one another. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. Let that sink in for a second. Whosoever hateth his brother doesn't puts him second, more or less. Doesn't mean that he hates him. It means that he just loves him less. He's less compassionate towards someone. He's a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him. How are we going to know it? Whenever that love and that compassion of God so fills and motivates and changes our lives that we not only give of what we have, but as John said, we lay our lives down for them. To where we love someone and have such a compassion, such a desire, such a zeal for them that we truly seek their greatest good with no regards to ourselves. See, to really do that, you have to have the passion, the desire to really care. And the only way we can really care is if we pray the Lord of the harvest to send us forth into his harvest. Church, the message for us today is, what's our compassion level? And what is the source of it? It'll cause us to change the way we treat people naturally, spiritually, and the extent to which we will do it. I can't speak for you. I look at myself and say, I'm found weighed in the balance and found wanting. But we serve a God who loves us even as he loves everyone else, whose desire is to really get involved in our lives so that his kingdom work can come into people's lives. He wants us to learn to pray, and one of the things that I'm learning is that what he wants us to understand in our prayer is no matter what it is that we're coming to him for, is to understand who he is. He is our Father who art in heaven. And hallowed be his name. He is so far above everything else. He is so great, so mighty. He is so set apart. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we're praying for someone and we approach the throne of God just understanding these two concepts, and we come to him with a compassion, and we understand that no matter how great our desire and our compassion is for that need, that his is so much greater because he is so much greater. So we say, God, I come to you for my loved one or for my friend, and they are really struggling. It may be physically, it may be spiritually, it may be emotionally, it may be financially, it may be whatever it is. But you know, God, I know that you care about it even more than I do. And so what I'm asking is that your kingdom will be done in their life and their situation. God, send me into this situation. See, now what we do, as we have compassion, we pray the Lord of the harvest to send us into this situation. As he sends us, if we're careful and we listen, not with our ears, but with our spirit, he'll send us with the direction of what it is that he wants his kingdom will to be done. Now, son, he'll start steering our heart and our spirit on how to pray, on how to intercede before the throne of grace, because what we're wanting to have happen is the will of the Father to be done in their lives, and we're asking him to get us involved and get others involved. And now all of a sudden, he can bring his compassion. And he's saying, are you really ready to be committed to this? Are you willing to give of your time, of your money, of your energy, of your spirit? And as we yield to him and let him bring us there, he'll show us more about what his kingdom's will is on that desire. You see, because it's not a matter of how many people are praying. It's a matter of how we pray. And it's a matter of how we understand the nature of God and are changed into the nature of God so that we can more effectively interact with the nature of God. Because God is compassionate. And he's wanting to change our lives, the way we think, and the way we interact with him and with people. He wants to take us out of our boundaries. He wants to take us out of our expectations. And he wants to bring us into a new life. Church, I want to challenge us as we're waiting. As we're waiting for that fullness of God, which is coming. Don't get me wrong. But while we're waiting, we need to be busy. We need to be busy doing what we know to do, but most importantly, we need to be busy praying and asking God to truly reveal unto us His nature, His desires, His ways. Because whenever we learn these things, that is how we're truly going to see the fullness of God come to pass. Because God is looking for those who will get involved and who He can send. Pastor?
Praise God. Let the worship team come down. Because you're not doing anything wrong does not mean you're doing everything right. Stand together with me. Perhaps the most important part of your week is in the next 3 minutes. I really, really appreciate what Brother Mark shared. And so, wow, what are we going to do about it? See, there's God's will for us sometimes changes. He often adds to it. And sometimes we might think, well, I'm doing thus and thus and thus for God. But is that what He wants you doing? Because we're doing something doesn't mean that we're doing what He wants us to do. And so we need to stop and talk to Him about it. Don't wait for Him just to interrupt your life. I challenge you today, this morning, in the next couple minutes, talk to God. Introduce yourself to Him on this subject. Lord, I want to know what You want me doing with my life. What is it You want going on in my life? I want You to show me. I want You to talk to me. I'm open. Lead me to it. I want you to take a few moments this morning before you leave here. If you want to come down here and pray, if you come down here and stand and pray, but don't ignore God, okay? Because He's wanting to talk to a lot of you. You may be so unsuspecting. Maybe young people, maybe great-grandparents in between. But hey, I want to challenge you. You might be a preteen, whatever, but God's wanting to talk to you. He's wanting to put you in a new speed in your life, kind of put you into overdrive and the things that He's wanting to do in your life. And some of you may be retired and you feel like you're just kind of coasting. Well, talk to Him this morning, please. And that's true for those who are streaming with us also. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You. I thank You so much for this word, Lord, that we have heard this morning. How relevant, Lord God, how so important for right now. And I pray for every person. I pray for young people and elderly people and in between, Lord. I ask You, Lord, that You would let there be those here this morning that would say, yes, Lord, I want to know what You want going on in my life. I'm open, Lord. Speak to me. And so, Lord, I pray for these folks, Lord. I ask You, Lord God, to guide us this afternoon. Help us to be sensitive to Your will. Help us to seek You, Lord, concerning what we have heard this morning. And, Lord, I fear lest there's some that just didn't get it today at all. But, Lord, it was just majestic, Lord, the things that we heard here this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that You would speak to them. So, Father, we commit this day to You, every family to You, those who are not well. We pray that You'd reach out to them, touch every home that is tuning in with us, Lord. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, would you take a couple moments? Would you take just a moment and talk to God sincerely about this? What would You want to do in my life, Lord? Worship team. Altar's open if you'd like to come down here. Just stand before Him, kneel before Him, talk to Him about anything on your heart. Can you imagine? You can talk to the Creator of the universe.